Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 will serve as our text this morning. And that reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Now we live in a time of constant, rapid change. New technologies develop and old ones become obsolete. New spiritual fads arise. And the remnant of Bible believers must discern how and if they should respond to them. New means of communication are invented, and their existence must be acknowledged, although we are certainly under no obligation to utilize them. It may come as news to you that these things, that these inventions, have not caught the creator of the universe by surprise. God took care that his word transcends all earthly changes and developments. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. We have 3 points which arise from our text this morning. First, transient things. Second, God's enduring word. And finally, some additional general and personal applications as we tie all of these scriptures together. These scriptures are listed under the related scripture section in your bulletin if you want to take a look at them later in more detail. First, transient things. The grass withers. A few days without rain, and what happens to your beautiful lawn? It begins to turn brown, right? The flower fades at the end of the season. When the frost descends upon the land, the flower ceases to bud and bloom. And so it is with human life. Compared to 6,000 plus years of human history, in eternity past, we are here on this planet but a very short time. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Many of us have been spending more time than we'd like in the funeral parlor and dealing with and ministering to those whom we've lost. Seems like these things come in waves and in seasons. And the scriptures certainly teach that there is a season for all things under heaven. You know, Solomon, in his wisdom, said this: "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." When death and our own mortality slaps us in the face, we begin to look at things more realistically. When the trials come, whatever they are, our perspective changes from a temporal one to an eternal one. We begin to realize that riches are gone when we are, and often sooner, for they have a way of making themselves wings. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. David says in Psalms, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found." Jesus tells us a parable in the 12th chapter in the Gospel of Luke. One from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to a man, "Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" In other words, for all of these temporal matters, you've got your lawyers. Go find one in the yellow pages. For our Lord deals primarily with eternal matters. And when he deals with temporal matters, he deals with them from an eternal perspective. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Some seek worldly knowledge and wisdom, and they make this their end in life. But this too is vanity and grasping for the wind. Worldly knowledge is also transient. There's always the next new thing, the next new theory, the next new development, the next new book. But spiritual knowledge abides. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Some of the most miserable people on their deathbed are those who have educated themselves to death, but never learn the truth. Second point this morning deals with God's enduring word. "But the word of our God stands forever. Of the scriptures of the Bible it is written, 'Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.'" Amen. You cannot change it, you cannot add to it, we cannot subtract from it. Or at least certainly not without incurring the wrath of God as a result of doing so. Jesus also testifies that the scripture cannot be broken. The Bible is true, all of it, and ever shall be true. We may not understand every word in this book. We may not like it. But it's God's honest truth. Our God is not a God who would lie, or who would wink at sin, or who would give half of what we need. But He gives each and every one of us all that we need to get through all of our circumstances and all phases of our lives. Amen. Not only does the written word endure forever, but the living word reigns eternal also. One of the names for Jesus Christ in the scripture is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we cannot help but consider the Word of God in God's Word without considering the person that it represents, its author. Whenever an Old Testament passage is quoted in the New, we do well to read the New Testament reference, as this will shed more light on the meaning. Coming back to our text in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 8, we see that it is cross-referenced, that Peter has something to say about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So Peter illuminates our text a little more. The word of our God, then, is also the gospel. I was asked yesterday in the course of some street evangelism what the Christian message is. And this individual indicated that they believe that the Christian message was too complicated to be able to boil down and simplify into just a few words or just a few sentences. I don't believe that to be true. We all know, or we all ought to know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And furthermore, we can know the gospel content. What is the gospel? And if you asked many church-going Christians, you might even get a lot of different answers. You might be surprised by some of the answers that you get. But we know, because the Apostle Paul has delivered to us what was delivered to him, that the gospel content is that Jesus Christ came down, lived a sinless life, died to pay the penalty for your sins, was buried, and rose bodily from the grave, thereby achieving victory over death once for all through His resurrection. And on this, rests my hope. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not only is God's Word, God the Son, Jesus Christ, not only is it the Bible, but it is also the everlasting gospel. Forever settled in heaven. For those who lived before the cross, believing upon God's promises of Messiah to come, and for us in this church age, these last days, believing upon Christ who came. Its results are eternal when applied individually. We all make our own decision with regard to whether we're going to believe these things, whether we're going to trust God, whether we're going to take Him at His word. Nobody's going to get into heaven on anybody else's coattails. And when you do, you'll have great comfort, great peace, and grace, great hope. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know if I'm chosen? If I'm called? If that desire to be a child of God and that willingness to accept the gospel is in you, then that describes you. Otherwise, you wouldn't want Him anyway. Finally, some general and personal applications. First, with regard to perspective, I want you to consider David. King David. He lived long, long ago, about 3,000 years ago. And we look back at that and we say, wow, that was really, really long time ago, right? King David, he lived a long time ago. He was a man after God's own heart. But after 70 years, he died. He went the way of all the earth. 70 years, looking back, 3,000, a drop in the bucket of human history. And yet God's sure mercies toward David endure forever. David is in heaven. Furthermore, God has guaranteed that the humanity of our Savior would come through His loins, and He did it. God the Son, in the fullness of time, shed the sure mercies of His blood at the cross that you and I, after a little while on earth, might also be with Him. Our time here is short. Eternity is long. After physical death, your final place will have been determined. It is appointed for all men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will be in heaven, and you will be in hell. Jesus didn't mince words, nor should we. Let's not do anyone a disservice by watering down the gospel. The word of the Lord endures forever, after all. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in the acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now. Now is the day of salvation. Dear Christian friend, please reset your perspective to eternal things. Allow the enduring word to guide your life, and not the pleasures of sin that you have been enjoying or that have been tempting you, consume your daily activities any longer. If the Lord tarries, you've got a few short years. You can spend them frivolously, as the fool does, or you can make them count and accumulate lasting rewards for heaven. Are you young? I speak to you, young people, in particular at this time, and you do not think that your time is that near. You don't know that, first of all. But I pray that all of you live a good, long, fruitful, healthy life. And if so, you can mark this down, that the days of gray hair will come upon you quickly. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. Think about that. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your enduring word, that you've given us a handbook to go by. And we thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior, who paved the road to heaven with his blood. Heavenly Father, if any need peace, if any need comfort, if any need perspective, if any need a wake-up call this morning, that your word will hit its mark in each and every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.